DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial 929 FM or 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio, you can always listen on the Odyssey app. Free to download, free to listen. You can stream anytime, anywhere. You can even listen on demand. We got a full house here in studio. The producer of the program, as always, is George Ruggiero. You can follow him on Twitter, on X, at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good day. You said it. Full house is right.
We got a full house because we have two people today as our company. Of course, we always have Kevin Cerrito on Wednesdays, the host of Fun and Games here in Memphis, the host of Writer Than Write Trivia tomorrow on the Jeff Calkins Show, Thursdays, 10:30 for Writer Than Write Trivia. The website, CerritoEntertainment.com, on Twitter, on X, at Cerrito. Kevin, good day, sir.
Good day. Writer Than Write Trivia back tomorrow, sandwiched in between two off weeks because of Juneteenth and the 4th of July.
We also have a sounder for you.
Oh, really?
Brad put together like a little intro.
We have an intro debut tomorrow?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait. I have not heard this.
I think technically we should have had it 2 weeks ago, but I forgot to tell Jeff.
All right, well, we got it.
Oh, no, I'll tell you what it was. It was 2 weeks ago when Drew hosted.
Ah, yeah, Drew.
And
yeah.
I gave him a very specific script of here's how it goes, and then I'd forgotten to do that. We also have in studio, he's the host of the 901 Soccer Podcast for Bluff City Media. He also writes for Beyond the 90. He's going to be our soccer expert here on the program as we get ready for, I know everybody's fired up for the Gold Cup right now. You can follow him on Twitter, on X, at LDoc93. Lawrence Dockery, good day, sir.
Good day, Jeffrey. It's
all right, so let's see what we got coming up on the program, because it's a little bit different, because we had Kevin on Monday because Hurd was traveling. Coach Hurd's going to join us next segment. I promise we won't talk with him about Bradley Beal.
It's a guarantee?
I'm going to say, unless we do it sarcastically.
Right, okay. Sarcasm
yes.
only. In the
sarcasm only if we talk to him about Bradley Beal, because Kevin tells me they did 20 minutes with Jason and John on Bradley Beal, so I did not know that we had that much interest in Bradley Beal. I mean,
you know, they tried veering him in different directions. It just didn't work. You know, he's got Bradley Beal on the mind today.
I felt like Bradley Beal was like a very 2017 Grizzlies fan pipe dream. I feel like we've moved on from that. We'll do some buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. We'll start
it's draft
with,
day, anything.
We'll start with the draft. We'll have Coach Hurd joining us in about 40 minutes or so. We'll get into the list. And then CJ Hurd joins us each and every Wednesday during the second hour. Looking forward to talking with him. We'll tell your story.
He's in the building. He's in the building at FedEx Forum, right? So maybe he's hearing some whispers.
Yeah, maybe he can give us the inside track. So we'll see if we can get some good scoopage from
CJ Bomb?
CJ Bomb, yeah.
Oh, that would be great. Hurt bomb. Hurt bomb would be good.
Is he the Hurt Locker?
He could. Let's see. Maybe get him to lock in a pick here.
But that was about bombs, right?
Yes. Yeah, sure. He'd be like the Hurt Locker, yeah. Pun action here to start.
What was the other war movie that came out around the same time as
American
the
Sniper?
No.
No? Zero Dark Thirty?
Yeah. I always confuse the plots of those.
Hurt Locker was 2008, I think.
Hurt Locker...
it won the Oscar.
Because Hurt Locker's James Cameron's ex-wife.
Correct.
And Avatar... So I think it was 2011. Because they were at the Oscars together and they were up for either Best Picture, Best Director at the same time. And it was always awkward because him and his ex-wife were right there. So that's about my justification. That's about my recollection of that. But let's start with some buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. All right, guys. We know it's draft night. You can hear it right here on 92.9 FM ESPN at 6:30. Buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. Wednesday's not a draft day.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I buy that.
We talked about this a little with Tim yesterday. The NBA schedule, we always talk about college football having their coaches talking about they need to fix the schedule, fix the calendar. I feel like we need to really have a discussion about the NBA and the calendar. We cannot go from Sunday, a game seven, to we have the first round of the draft on Wednesday.
I like it. In theory, it makes sense. From the wrestling perspective, right? From like, oh, here's WrestleMania, and then there's the Raw after Mania is right after that, and we're starting
but
a brand new...
But we don't ever have a draft right after it.
But we're starting a brand new season. You know, it's the new year begins, right?
But we don't do a brand split.
Sure, but like, historically, even before there was brand splits, like it was like Mania was the end of the wrestling season, and then Raw after Mania kicked off. Things are new now. Somebody's turning on somebody, and you got some new stuff. So in theory, as a wrestling fan, I appreciate the idea. But it does a disservice to the NBA, I would think.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here. Now,
so you're going to sell it?
Let me talk through it. Right. Let me see if I talk myself into or out of anything here. Let's compare this and contrast this with the NFL, because that's something that Mark Cuban started trying to do about a decade ago, and it hasn't really worked out super well for the NBA in that regard. But what happens? The NFL season ends in February.
Yep.
And then we have the draft late April, early May, give or take.
Yeah, and I think it's the last Thursday in April.
You get an absolutely grueling 2 months of filler draft talk. What about this guy? What about this guy? What about now? And then you get to talking about defensive tackle from Eastern Kentucky University. And I don't like that the NBA draft is 2 days after the final has ended, but I also don't need 2 months of filler on it.
I can buy that.
There's a happy medium somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, a big part of this is the league wants to take their vacation. So it's almost like, all right. And obviously, a big part of this is, well, we just had a game seven. And so normally, you know, the last few years, we've had these series end in five games. And so there's an...
The last nine.
Like, there's
years
an additional
have not been
week.
A game seven. So,
but, like, the big problem is everyone in the league, like, this is it. And then, like, they take their vacation, and they'll do summer league, and then they'll kind of, like, get back into the swing of things in August. I just, on top of it feels way too soon, to me, it's just Wednesday does not feel like a draft night. Like, I feel like even when the NFL moved from the Saturday-Sunday to the Thursday-Friday-Saturday, Thursday we're kind of conditioned for the draft. Like, the NBA draft forever was on a Thursday.
Well,
Wednesday just feels weird.
You also have Thursday night football, both collegiate and professional.
Yes.
So, you know, seeing the NFL draft on a Thursday night is not some sort of earth-shattering screw-up in your sports-watching routine. But you know what? I've talked myself into it. I'm buying it. I don't buy Wednesday as a draft night.
And then also, we've done the thing now where we're trying to split it into 2 days, and it just feels like overkill.
Right. Well, I mean,
because we're having the second round. Who cares about the second round tomorrow?
Zach Kleiman.
The second round was on when you're
from a watching perspective. Like, I'm not saying it doesn't matter in terms of, I mean, for God's sakes, the Grizzlies got a starter in the second round last year. But, like, does anyone actually care tomorrow?
Because drafts are about watching stars and watching the people who are there. And by the second round, they're not even in the building, right? So the people getting drafted are definitely not, maybe, if it's, there could be.
George, did Bronny go last year?
Think so?
Because I'm not saying nobody's going to be there. But
I'm convinced that the whole reason
you fell down. Yeah.
I'm convinced the whole reason they did this splitting of the first and second rounds was so that Bronny could have his own day.
I think that I don't think they would have made the decision based on that.
third from last or something. 50,
I think he went fifth from last. I think he went 55th
overall.
Yeah.
And yes, he did attend the draft.
There we go.
The second round is of the NBA draft is it's when you're cleaning up from your party that you had. Like, people are leaving. When the first round is over, the draft is over. The fact that there's multiple days this is stupid. It should be a longer evening event, and it should be on a Thursday. Because when I think, what day of the week do you think of when you think of the NBA? I think Thursday most likely. I know there's always going to be games on Thursdays.
Matt Moore made the same point on Twitter earlier that when you think about the NBA, it's like, what nights do we play the finals on? It's Sundays and Thursdays. Thursday night's a big night. Like, I guess we have ESPN Friday, but it's like Tuesday and Thursday. Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday are considered like the NBA days.
Move the draft to a Sunday and start it at 6, and that's what you need to do. But, I mean, Sunday would feel more normal to me than a Wednesday, even though we get the Wednesday from the NFL. But the NFL was always multiple days, and I think that's also what's at it. The idea we've spent so much time saying the NBA needs to protect Christmas Day, well, they need to start respecting Thursday first, and then we'll talk
about
that.
I don't think they can protect it.
They can't. They can't protect. No,
like I said, literally, NFL declared war, and it's you can't do anything.
They just gave up on Thursdays, and Thursday is a regular day every week.
Well, it's I mentioned a second ago. Mark Cuban decided 10 years ago that he wanted to open his mouth and start popping off about we're closing the gap on the NFL, and Kamish said, no, we're gonna take your primetime slots. We're gonna take your Sundays. We're gonna take Christmas. It's like everything that was yours is ours now.
Well, like, think about it in these terms. Didn't the Spurs go play in France this year? This is proving my point.
They did.
Who knows? Maybe. Sure. I don't know. But like, when the NFL goes to Europe, we all know about it because we have to wake up at 8:30 in the morning and nobody set their lineup because it's always at the point of the calendar. And then Goodell's going to start shoving even more Europe games down our throat. I think he said his goal was 8.
Thanks be to Kamish.
Oh, God. Yes. All right, here's another one. This one's more Grizzly specific.
All right.
Buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. You want the Grizzlies to make a pick tonight.
Sell.
Well,
Lawrence, why are you selling? Because I am very – sorry, Brad. I'm on the fence on this one. I can't decide what I'm rooting for.
Pick a side.
It's one of those
the point
where,
of the game, Jeffrey.
I know. That's why I want to hear the arguments.
All right, go ahead. You're selling.
I feel like it's one of those things where whatever cachet Zach Kleiman had built up was based on how he had drafted. We hear about all the guys, all the gem, the diamonds in the roughs, so to speak, that they have found in the second round of the draft. But outside of Zach Edey, the last couple of drafts hadn't been super great for the Grizzlies. And when you're talking about if you want somebody to develop, then I'm fine with drafting them. But if the Grizzlies kind of need to be in win now mode, would everybody agree with that?
I think the last couple seasons have gone, they definitely need to win now. I think it's even more imperative because I think if it gets off to a disastrous start, the one thing the Bane trade did lay the groundwork, like, they're not trying to blow it up and rebuild, but it did like lay the groundwork. If this gets off to like a horrific start, that's on the table.
But if you're in win now mode, somebody in the 16th pick?
So right now they're at 16. So the realistic options, George, you tell me, what do you think the highest they can get is like 11 if they trade it up?
Yeah, I'm putting it at 11 unless you really want to start dipping into the roster, which I don't think they want to do. There is, of course, opportunity if guys start to slip beyond 11, have to give up less, get to that 12, 13 slot.
Yeah. Okay, so the options are probably adding a pick, adding a first-round pick, and moving up. Like, so you attach one of the four that you've gotten, and you move up. Pick at 16, they're unable to make a deal. Or it seems like most people are thinking the Nets have cap room, and they also have, I kid you not, 5 picks in the first round.
I think it's 6 now.
Is it 6 now? They got another one?
Did they not? Were they not involved in one of the trades last night?
I thought that gave them their 5th.
I think they have 6.
Okay.
A handful.
A lot.
They either have a 5th of the first round or a 6th of the first round. One or the other. So they have 20% or right at like 18.8 or whatever. So the thought would be if you can attach your 16 and Conchar, that gives you some flexibility and you could move back. Or they could attach Cole Anthony, the pick, and try to get a player. I think I would vote for that. I also think that that's not that realistic. I think that's harder to do than people realize. Like Cole Anthony
and move back and get rid of the contract?
No, I think that's actually
the most realistic.
I think that's reasonable. I don't know if they would do it because Chris Harrington this morning said, okay, there are other, like if you're that worried about getting off Conchar's money, there are other avenues to do it without having to give a pick.
What's great about this, Jeffrey, and you're the shining example of it, is the Grizzlies are going into this, really, they're sometimes in a lose-lose situation. This one's kind of like, it doesn't matter. They can make the most strategic opinion or move tonight, and I don't think it's going to change the fan bases. Like, I don't think anybody is 100% like they got to make a pick or they got to draft so-and-so. There's not really that going on.
But see, don't you
feel
like
they're really going to have to mess up to have people...
I feel like the fan base
outrage. I think you got to.
I think the fan base doesn't want another young player.
I do think that's true, and we're talking tonight only, which means we're talking only what it's still, you know, hard for our brains to wrap around. Like, the Grizzlies got to make a pick tonight because it's only the first round tonight, so it's only
correct.
The first round. We've got the second round tomorrow. The Grizzlies might end up with a pick there.
So they've got two right now. I think it's like 48 and 54, maybe something like that. It's like late 40s, early 50s.
I want the Grizzlies to make a pick tonight, so I'm buying that they need to make a pick tonight just for a pick or a trade, I guess. A pick or a trade, because I want great TV. That's
you want
what
fireworks?
I tune in. I'm tuning in. It's a TV show. I want something to happen involving the team that I care about every draft night. If it doesn't, it's always kind of a disappointment in the background.
No, there is nothing more unsatisfying than when your team doesn't have a pick. Like in
that's
your
like
watch,
because
then you're just like watching casually.
Think about the pick I'll just say just one time today, but think about the pick they could have had if they missed the playoffs. Continue.
I would not
be debating whether or not what's going on here. It'd be a different debate, totally different debate if the Grizzlies would have missed the playoffs.
I guess I'm going to.
They were one game away from doing.
I think I'm going to buy it. And the biggest reason I'm going to buy it, though, is.
You want them to make a pick?
I do want them to make a pick. Their best chance of getting the best player is probably drafting. Because even if you wind up getting another player, now I also think it also brings in the lowest floor.
Yeah.
Picking at 16, like that's not really.
Yeah, that's my thing here is somebody mentioned the mood of the fan base. It's not super great right now. And
no,
it's improved from the Bane trade.
I think the Bane trade kind of gave people a shot of life because it wasn't even like it's not even, obviously it was not a personal thing for Bane because I think Bane was pretty popular, but I think it suggested they're doing something.
If there was a player in this draft that you could go out and get tonight that would significantly lift the mood of the fan base, that type of player is probably not going to be available at 16. Also, have to throw in the fact that a lot of the discussion around this particular draft. Class is Cooper Flagg and then everybody else.
Well, it's like it feels like the drama is what does Philly do at 3? Is Ace Bailey going to keep falling? And then I do think if they wound up with Cedric Coward, I think that guy's gotten like so much momentum right now that I think that would excite people. But
the Grizzlies could be making a pick on a technicality tonight as well, though, right? Like, could be drafting on behalf of another team that's involved in some trade.
Right, but that would get announced.
Right.
Like,
but they'd still be the Grizzlies select so-and-so,
right.
Whoever
would still be wearing a Grizzlies hat despite not going to play for the Grizzlies. That's
right.
Another thing that annoys me. Like,
we need to get that
why
stuff
Why are we so litigious
better?
That, like, let them wear the hat. Who cares?
Yeah. Of the team that actually is
actually drafting them.
Right. I think, but I mean, it goes back to even like Penny Hardaway in the night he was drafted. Like, some of these guys you don't necessarily.
Eli Manning trade official? Like, Eli holds up the Chargers jersey, and then he gets traded, and he holds up the Giants jersey. Had that paperwork gone through?
That's great. I mean, he's your, it's your team, it's your guy.
And like, well, my other deal is, like, my other point is that who's going to sue you? Like, it's your league. Why not just say, like, you can wear the hat? It makes no sense to me. I think the NBA has gotten to where it is so difficult to actually follow, like, the actual product right now. Like, when you see the picks that get traded, well, that was actually a swap. And then, wait, did they get four picks? Was that five picks? What actually happened? Like, I mean, the transaction.
Who he play for? Who he play for?
You get a pick 10 years from now, but only if you have such and such record and finish in such and such standings in the conference.
And then it could convey into a second in 40 years. And so it's like, it makes it, they've made it very complicated and difficult to follow as like, okay, what's happening here? Like, following the plot has been very difficult for the NBA.
Well, that's why they have, you know, that's why ESPN will have a desk full of experts tonight. And that's what I'm waiting to hear what does Stephen A. Smith, I don't know why I'm more interested now in what Stephen A. Smith has to say about stuff. What is going to happen tonight with Stephen A.? I know he's going to take the opportunity after his recent just chain of comments.
Do we think it's going to be Angry Birds or another round of solitaire on his phone tonight?
That is a great, what game? There's no way he can be playing a game. He's going to have to
What about like spades or hearts? I used to play that on my phone a lot, and when I was traveling around in Europe on the trains.
On the old school PCs, what, like Minesweeper?
Yeah, Minesweeper.
What else did they have? Spider Solitaire.
My 11th grade math teacher was involved in writing Minesweeper.
I mean, there is.
I still have no idea how to play it.
Nope.
What was the old pinball game that was on like all the desktops?
Oh, 3D pinball. That game was awesome. I spent many an hour playing that game as a child.
It would be fantastic if he was on set with like a headset on, like playing Fortnite against somebody and commenting with some teenager. Yeah.
Is he for sure? I assume he's going to be there.
SNL skit.
But I think
Stephen A's got to be there, right?
I think part of the intrigue is, this feels like the first time that, like, he's under, like, legitimate criticism, and it seems like it's rattling him a little bit. Like, I keep going back to the last two games of the finals, he had a noticeably different behavior. So on the Thursday one, he brought his daughter on the stage, and then on Sunday night before, like, he literally sounded like he was on Quaaludes. Like, it was insane. Like, he was noticeably, like, trying to, like, temper down everything.
So he's Jonah Hill and the Wolf of Wall Street talking about Steve Madden?
Or he was, like, I mean, it literally was Leo trying to get into his car.
Yes.
Yeah, it was banana land to me.
Well, I mean, and now you got the news that they broke that, you know, Stephen A, we'll see where he is mentally here, because the news broke this week that, you know, Mark Cuban turned down a possible vetting of being VP for the with Kamala Harris. So like Stephen A wasn't asked about that. So our two big political aspiration sports figures. Is he going to go political, try to get his, he needs a vetting.
You know how we've been talking about, like, we don't quite get why Cuban sold? The theory now is that he perhaps sold to make a run for office. But why would you?
You don't need
in this day and age. Why would it matter? I mean, we literally elected a reality television star. Why would it?
Twice.
Why? Yes.
I mean, and Mark Cuban is non-consecutively. One of those as well, though. Yeah.
Mark Cuban has also already played the role of president of the United States in one of the half dozen Sharknado.
Oh, that's
movies.
Right. He was president in the Sharknado. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that was a thing. I remember that.
Man, the Sharknado days are behind us.
How many did they actually make?
I think six.
I just remember it was wildly depressing because you're like, man, Tara Reid used to be a babe. And
oh, and the Big Lebowski?
Yeah, but just, or in like Van Wilder. She had a great run, and then on this one, like, oh boy, not great.
I think the greatest thing about Sharknado is that the first one was a totally legitimate, super, like, real serious movie. And then they decided,
They kind of did the Fast and Furious thing, though, where it starts off with them being thieves. And then by, really, I would say about five, they become superheroes. Like, that was kind of a weird transition.
Right.
Like four
superheroes.
Four was where they like started to figure out the formula, and then five really just starts running downhill. Six gets like it starts to get progressively more insane. But yeah, like they actually are like, I mean, for God's sakes, like they were jumping out of planes into cars.
They had a submarine chasing a tank across the polar ice cap.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, but I can confirm Stephen A. Smith will be on the show tonight. So we'll.
I mean,
well, for the amount of money that they pay him, he's their highest paid employee, and they're certainly their most visible. So I can't imagine that they wouldn't have him.
So you kind of want
who else
don't
would
you
make
want
$20 million?
But
because like they pay McAfee Herbie? For the whole nah
highest paid.
I think
sure
Herbie
Steven
makes it. More money from Amazon than he does from ESPN.
Well, money doesn't really mean anything to Amazon, so that would make sense.
Yeah.
But from a TV show perspective, like you think about this tonight, if Stephen A's at the desk, the Grizzlies, at least they have the 16th pick, whether it's getting traded or not, they're going to be involved in the selection of that. Like, what will Stephen A say about Memphis at all? Well, is he going to ignore it? Is he going to say anything? He's still got his pending invite. He hasn't visited yet. Or once the draft is over, is he coming to Memphis? What's happening? Because he said he accepted Paul Young's invitation.
Do we want him to come in the summer?
Oh, my goodness. It's more reasons for him to say some things about Memphis, right? It's just a lot
right.
out here.
Like, I'm...
Maybe it's something new he can say that's negative.
Like, I'm in love. Like, once the heat and humidity comes out, like, I'm all for it. Like, I love it, but I recognize that I am in the significant minority.
One of the things we do agree on is that, I mean,
but like Saturday
here.
When it was super hot and like I was out playing golf, like my back felt great. It was everyone else I was playing with was like melting, and I'm just like as happy as I can be, skipping from to and fro.
Yeah,
I wish that we had that on camera. I really do.
It was awesome.
Video
I was
that.
So
I
happy.
That.
I looked
so
like
happy
I looked like Rory like after he birdied three straight. I had like the hop going. It was awesome. Well, I was so happy.
We're in this stretch where like every day is becoming the hottest day of the year, right? Every day we're stepping in.
Yeah, I guess though.
I wish we were.
Am I wrong in this? I hate the complaining about that when we just had like irregularly cool. Like it.
How about summer coming at the exact
time? Yeah.
We always complain like, oh, well,
like
fall, summer's fall lasted.
Well, we didn't have spring this year.
Right. Fall lasted a day, you know, a day and or whatever. Like we get the summer actually started in summertime. It was, but technically I'm a person who says summer starts at Memorial Day. When school's out and it's Memorial Day, it is summer.
Well, summer's not just a season, it's also
right.
a state of mind.
Yeah, it's exactly. definitely a lifestyle. Yeah. I think that's for
Unlike
sure.
Unlike the other seasons, it definitely qualifies.
I think the other problem I've had with this draft is I feel like I'm a lot... I was telling Kevin this earlier. I feel like I've shown up at the blackjack table and everyone's in the middle of the shoot and it looks like you got serious players there. And so I'm going to wait for the... Like, it's like, I'll get it around. Like, I feel like I'm coming in too late and... I just can't get like all in on this.
And I think that's why a lot of us do not know what we want out of tonight. We know there's scenarios that the Grizzlies can go, like there's different paths, like it's a board game or something, but we don't know which one is preferable and which one that the Grizzlies will actually do. And who knows what they know what they're going to do at this point. But I know that they really got the dominoes falling in the NBA. The Bane trade was the start. And we'll see if the Grizzlies can get back in on the action here. I hope they do something, right? Because this is the busiest time of year for transactions. And they've got to figure out something because that is it, right? Because we've seen part one. You want to talk like we've seen part one of
yeah.
the Bane trade. There's another part to it.
Might be multiple
parts of how do they respond to it? What happens to these other pieces? And not just that. Even if they keep all of those draft picks, they still have to do something to improve the team for next season. So something has got to happen, whether it's involving the pieces from the Bane trade or not. The team got worse currently by trading Bane. So they've got to do something to fill that void. But because right now the team is worse than they were. Like,
yeah,
you forget about that. They are.
Yeah,
so they've got to do something.
They have lost one of their best players.
Right.
And they've not, I mean, I guess they've replaced it with KCP and Cole Anthony. But it's like we don't even know if
either one of them will be there. But
it
yeah, KCP
seems like
probably,
KCP
yeah.
is going to be on the team, but Cole Anthony, it seems like their preference would be not, but I don't know.
They've upgraded, yeah, championship pedigree on the team, I guess.
George, do you have a conviction on a particular player? I think that's the other problem that I've had is, like, I was so behind on draft, like, just watching, consuming. Like, I don't feel like I have a conviction about anyone. Do you?
Depends what range we're talking.
We're talking about the 16. So we're talking about where we're at.
Let's say they can't move.
Right, see, right there, that would just suggest to me, if we have to depend on the range, that there is no strong conviction on who to take.
Oh, there definitely is, because if they can move up to get someone like Carter Bryant at that 11-12 range, I am all for that. He fits the mold that I'm looking for in a need.
Have you watched him try to dribble?
Yeah, but do they really need that?
Hey, you can go coast to coast and dribble once, so it's okay.
All right, keep going. I know he's the one that he looks...
Him and Colin Murray Boyles are my two where you would probably have to move up for. I don't get the vibe from a Derek Queen or Thomas Sorber. I like Newell, I like Coward, and I like McNeely around that 16 range.
Yeah, I guess I'm a little worried that Cedric Coward is too trendy.
I was going to say, is that getting to be almost too sexy of a pick?
Yeah.
I mean, he's on so many of the mocks, from The Ringer to ESPN.
But if this guy's as great as everyone's saying, why is he available at 16?
Well, I mean, we don't know for sure if he will be. But, I mean, you're going to say that about everybody, though, Jeffrey? I mean, you can.
I feel pretty good that Flagg might be pretty good.
Yeah,
I'm saying anybody who's left at 16, though. Which
brings us back to this draft really just kind of is Cooper Flagg and everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
I've got some decent conviction about some of the other guys that are in that, top end of the lottery, but there's not a great realistic way for the Grizzlies to get up there is my problem.
Grizzlies draft Cedric Coward. Of course, he's went to Washington State, so that could up the Tigers' chances of getting the Pac-12 there.
For, six games.
did he play six games?
Yeah, he was at a D3 school in Washington and then transferred to Washington State.
Eastern Washington.
He did dominate.
Future rival of the Tigers.
He did dominate those six games that he played. All right, let's take a quick break. Let's see if Coach Hurd can inform us on any of these guys, and maybe we can come up with a conviction. We'll discuss that next, right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Coach Norton Hurd is, of course, the head coach and team director of Team Thad. Follow him on socials at DreamBigHurd. Coach, why were you trying to get Bradley Beal to Memphis?
Man, you know what? I'm already dealing with John on this other group text that I got. I just think right now, Coach, we don't have a lot of options, and until they do something on this tonight or tomorrow, is something we're not seeing or hearing. The names I'm hearing, I don't think they're better than Bradley Beal.
Coach, he hasn't been good for like a decade. Like, and also, like, look at what's his deal. First off, it doesn't matter because, you know, he has a no trade clause. Like, he is one of the few.
He has a no trade clause.
$53.6 million.
Jeffrey. That's, I know it's scary, but
that's so much money for, like, we just got rid of Bane because we couldn't pay 35 or 36, whatever it was.
That's true. I didn't add the money up when I first started talking. I was strictly just when they were naming players. Like, I think they named P.J. Washington. They named what's the other guy that shouted pretty well this year from the Brooklyn Nets?
Cam Johnson, right?
Cam Johnson. And I was like, yeah, those guys are serviceable, but they're not better than Bradley Beal. And Jeff, think about this now. I know,
but the Suns just benched him last year.
And the Grizzlies need to save $7 million, not add anything like of that substance.
Do you know how good you have to be, Jeffrey, to get a no-trade clause at some point in your life?
Well, because he was at the, he was, I listen, Bradley Beal to me is an aspirational person because, like, he never wanted to move. But, like, part of that was just, like, he was willing to just put up bad numbers on the Wizards or big numbers on the Wizards and not move. And they had to pay somebody.
No, I'm with you on it. Well, let me ask you this, though, Jeffrey. I think if we don't get somebody at least as good as a Bradley Beal could be, I think we lose the trade at that point because now we have not gotten
better. That, I think, is – I think that's entirely fair.
But like, isn't it inevitable that the – like, I think it's getting a collection that will be better than one individual player. Is that not what we're looking for to be the winning the trade? Like, you've got – a lot of decent,
yeah. I mean, I think the idea
assets,
is like, be better
necessarily
in the aggregate. Be better in the aggregate, but maybe not have one player that is good as Bane. Because I think it's
you
fair
want to spread the money around.
Well, I think it's also fair to say, like, if the point of the trade was to get a player better than Bane, I'm with you, Coach. I don't think they're going to do that.
Yeah, and so that's what. So now that's a different take. I appreciate y'all for that take. Is like it do. You know, the NBA is a copycat league, so I think with. We could talk about the Thunder, but the Thunder actually have a lot of good players. Even though it feels like a team thing, those guys are number one draft pick, number five draft pick, lottery pick, number two, right?
Yes.
So
yeah.
I think the NBA is trying to do more.
And
so,
by the way, Usman Jang's not even playing, and he was drafted before Jalen.
Exactly. So I think what they're trying to do is, if I'm the lead, I try to copycat the Pacers more than I do the Thunder because – most people are not going to have that many lottery picks back-to-back, you know what I mean, and all that. So if you're doing what the Pacers doing, I get it, but I think the Grizzlies are still too far in to do what the Pacers have done because they do have a Ja, they do have a JJ, and as good as our bench can be at times, I just think the Pacers have it rolling at a certain point. So I know we want to get, like, a lot of good players, but I think we still got to get a really good starting wing that's better than KCP to make this, you know, as good as it can be.
Okay. What do you think of Carter Bryant?
I like Carter Bryant. Yeah, I played against several times. I like Carter Bryant. He won't make us better than the Grizzlies, but next year, though.
Well, like, that's the thing is, so would you rather see them tonight attach the pick and a player to get somebody on someone else's roster right now or rather than draft? Because that's kind of the dilemma that we're all kind of going through is like, what are we actually rooting for tonight? Because I feel like everyone's pretty, I don't even know like what the best path is.
I kind of would prefer a name, Jeffrey, and I'm a guy that don't mind building things up, but I would prefer them to take Carter and somebody, whoever it is, to pick. And whoever else, and probably get like a. I think the fans at Memphis will be more pleased with that. If you just come, like I say, and try to build it like the Pacers too early, they're going to probably cry about the Baines trade a lot longer.
I think if they get younger again, I don't think people are going to be happy with that.
Yeah, I don't either.
All right.
I don't.
Do you like Colin Murray-Boyles because George likes him. I like him as a defensive player, but like the part I struggle with him is like, where do you play him?
Yeah, and that's tricky with the NBA because there's certain ways you can play in college or you can play overseas in high school. And I think the NBA sometimes you have to define what you do well, especially if you're a first-round pick or a high first-round pick. So I'm with you. I like him. I don't love it, though, either, Jeff. You know what I mean?
No.
I think it's
like I can talk myself into it, but like that's like part of being fans. Like you can talk yourself into it, but have you watched Cedric Coward play? Like I'm a little concerned that the hype is getting a little out of control. Because I watched him. He played like six games at Wazoo this year, and I watched one of them. Like he was good in it, but like you know what I mean. Like it was they were playing like Northern Colorado.
Yeah, and I haven't. That's one of the few players who I haven't watched a lot either. So I actually started watching a little more as he then progressed as, like, you know, moving up the draft ladder. Then now you're hearing Grizzly saying that's potentially in their range. So I haven't seen as much of him as I should. Now, I know I'm throwing this out here, Jeff, and everybody on the phone will be like, But if we're going to get somebody young, I know he won't be available. I think a guy like Trey Johnson would be what we need.
I just don't think he's going to be there because I agree with you. Trey Johnson was my favorite like shot maker in college basketball this year.
Well, is that a trade-up situation? Is it worth trading up? Is that the?
Because I think, though, I don't see anyone. Like the highest, George thinks the highest they can really trade up is like 11, and I think he's going to be gone by 7.
I think Trey Johnson will be gone probably by like 7, 8 probably.
What's the thinking there where the Grizzlies can't get up higher than 11, George? What are we thinking? Why are we saying that?
People just don't want to trade out because
they like that. So if we were in the top 10, possibly you would be more excited about the pick.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. I was going to say if you're already in that high lottery, it makes it a little bit easier to maneuver up or down from there, but because you're already at 16, if you're really trying to move up 10 spots, I mean, the quality of player there drops so much, you're going to have to give up probably too much.
So even if the Grizzlies would have lost to the Mavericks, we would not be that excited since they would be outside.
Probably,
because they would have been 14-ish.
Because like, whoever had the 14th odds, that's who wound up with 14. Coach, what's going on with Ace Bailey?
So I was saying it earlier. I don't know if you probably already knew this. Ace Bailey is a Tennessee kid. I don't know if you knew that, Jeff.
No, you're breaking news to me.
Yeah, so we recruited him. A guy named Sid always, you know, had his back random. He was playing for, what's 18? But he's out of Chattanooga. And what happened was when I finally got up there to try to recruit him, the Atlanta team had already, because Chattanooga is like an hour and a half from Atlanta, so that's where everybody goes on weekends up there. And the Atlanta team, long story short, he played with them in AAU, and they end up, you know, moving him to Atlanta, or his family decided to move, you know, whatever the best way to say that, whatever, for the topic of the show. And he went to McKeesian High School because, you know, Atlanta ball is a lot bigger than Chattanooga's for exposure, right? So with that being said, I just think it's a way you do things. And if you just start off at first and say you're not going to any workouts, okay, that looks bad, but at least you be up front. But from my understanding, it sounded like the Sixer thing was agreed on, and then at either the week of or the day of, you don't come. I don't think that's a good look going into the NBA.
Why would you not want to play with Philly? Like, that's the other thing I was thinking about. Like, yes, I know their record was bad last year, but it's like, A, you're in the East, and they kind of, you know, like, they've added McCain. Like, Maxey's been pretty good. Like, if you can ever get like healthy and Embiid, like that's not like the worst spot. I'm confused why he's so anti that. Is he not think he's gonna get his shots?
You know what's crazy? I looked at the numbers today, what guys can make in the lottery, and it's unbelievable. But for some reason, maybe wanting to bet on this, Seth, I'm hearing that he, now I don't know how true this is because I haven't talked to his people. I know one of, but I'm hearing that he want to go who a Wizard or something. Like, he wants to be a guy. He thinks he's going to double his money later. He wants to be a guy or the guy from day one. I don't know how smart that is, but if you think about it, he picked Rutgers over Duke and Kentucky and Auburn, right in Auburn. So it's like it's kind of leading up to the same mentality, but they didn't win. And he's also known for not being, you know, outside of McKee being a huge winner, even though he put up big numbers.
Well, like, that's the other thing I was thinking about. How much do you care about, you know, because, like, that's the weird thing to me with Harper and him is that they didn't win a lot. Like, you know what I mean? Like, but at the same time, I can recognize, well, basically they had two guys and then, like, they just went and, like, recruited from the fraternity houses. Like, they didn't have anyone else. But, like, at the same time, it's like they were not that good.
No, they wasn't.
And he's a good coach.
Everybody can't do the, like, one-and-done thing like Calipari can do with younger guys, right? And also, even when you look at Cooper, when you look at all those guys, Kentucky, Memphis, when Kyle had them, Rutgers is a good school, but I don't know if it's good enough to get those two and have a big supporting class. Like, Cooper had a crazy supporting class, right? Even at Kentucky, when they went 4-5 young like that, they still had 4-5 of them and every now. It's like they didn't have a lot outside of those two. I'm not sure Rutgers was used to even that. But Rutgers got a great story tonight because Rutgers probably going to have two top five picks, and that's pretty, pretty. It don't get no bigger and better than that.
No, I mean, to your point, like, I don't – I know everyone, like, loves – like, I know everyone loves to bag on Cal. I feel like the fact that he was able to kind of navigate one and done, like, that's pretty tough to do. Like, you know what I mean?
He perfected it.
Like, no one else really won at that level doing it like he did.
Exactly. And then I would say this to take up for Rutgers a little bit, even Cal still doing it, but going away with the NIL and with the transfer and with people wanting to stay in school, I think it's even tough now more than ever to try to have a lot of one and dones because now, like, the NBA is going away from all the superstars and going to complete. I think colleges, when I talk to high-level, you know, Power Five coaches, they want to get old and stay old. That's the kind of the metric of winning more now than the one it does. I think it's even harder with how older guys are staying in school now.
Who, from this class, who was the guy that you liked the most?
You talking about from
when you saw him at like AAU or when you saw him in high school.
So this class would be the 23, I think.
Yeah, 24.
20.
24,
it
yeah.
It used to be the 24 class. I liked, of course, you had, well, Cooper moved up.
Yeah, because he reclassed.
Yeah, he reclassed up. Who was number one before Cooper? I mean, the same people. Ace
was it
good,
Trey?
You know? Trey? Yeah, Trey in that class. Trey. No, he wasn't one. It was more.
Harper, maybe?
Yeah, it was Harper. Ace, and there's somebody else we forgetting about. Knipper, he blew up like in the EYB. I remember playing him, and he was good. He could make three, but out the blue, later that summer, they put him in the top 15. I had a point guard. LeBaron Fylon was pretty good. The guard at Auburn, Tahaj was pretty good.
Is it Jeremiah Fears?
So Jeremiah Fears moved up too. Jeremiah Fears.
He did, that's right.
Yeah, he was originally in the 25 class, and then after the summer, he went to, you know, did some visit in Oklahoma, and then he was reclassing up.
I feel like if you were just drafting based on, like, a 40-yard dash, Fierce would be the number one player. Because I don't really know, like, I don't know how good he is at basketball, but I do know he's unbelievably fast.
He's pretty good. And you know what, Jeff, man, and I know, like, your daddy do a lot of great baseball. I think of me and him was to talk. When they start getting to the pros, it's some stuff you can't teach or expect.
Yes.
Because Spears was a solid recruit. Now, he got better as time went on. But his brother was considered a way better prospect than a lot of people. I thought a better one. And Spears go one and done moving up, and his brother is like a really good college player at Michigan State, but you don't hear any pro thing about him.
Is it just size? Because, like, I think if Fears weren't as fast and twitchy, right? Like, he's an undersized guy, and he's not a particularly good shooter. Like, I feel like part of it is just how twitchy he is.
Yeah, he Fears is. And sometimes it's about liking you at the right time. So,
sure.
Fears, like you said, he's very fast. He's very crafty. He did have some high-scoring games. I think it was smart. I do not believe in guys reclassing up, right, unless you're a big or you're a generational player like Cooper Flags. But it worked out. Oklahoma really needed a guard, so he was able to play 30-some minutes and the best lead in the country, the SEC, and he made some out of it. And the scouts liked him a lot.
Yeah, so I'm looking right now. According to 24/7, the composite, Cooper was one, Ace was two, Dylan was three, Moloch, who went to Duke, was four, Edgecombe was five.
I forgot about BJ. Yeah, he's pretty good.
Trey was six. Jaleel Bethea was seven. Ian Jackson was eight.
Okay, yeah.
Jaden Quintanense was nine.
For me, too. Yep. He reclassed up, too.
McNeely was 10. Drake Powell was 11. Derek Queen was 12. I think that's about. Oh, Knipple went to 18. Asa Newell was 19. But yeah, you're right. It's the it feels like the top of the draft is just the same names.
Yeah. The ones that entered the draft. Now,
yeah.
The kids.
Yeah.
That was big time that went to Miami. I think he just transferred either to Alabama or Kansas. The kid you just said, like number five out of, he was out of Philadelphia. So
Bethea.
Yeah, Bethea then entering and somebody else you named. But outside that, yes, it's pretty much those names tonight in those orders almost.
All right, Coach, we appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
That is Coach Norton Hurd, the fourth. When we come back, let's get into the list. We also got CJ Hurt coming up during hour number two. Stick around. You're listening to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.